Verse number 53 is also a very beautiful verse. Naham vedairna tapasa. Nadane nata chejaya. Nadane nana chejaya. Shakya evam vidho drashtum. Drashtavanasi mam yatha. So he says, aham, the Lord says, I, the consciousness. Here Krishna is not identifying only with Krishna, the blue-eyed boy of Vrindavan or the teacher of Arjuna. He is identifying himself with the totality, with that total consciousness or Brahman, that totality which was the universal form, cosmic form. He says, aham na vedai, by Vedas, by study of the scriptures, I cannot be realized. So what? And why am I here studying? Well, we'll explain. So I cannot be realized by study of the scriptures, na tapasa, and by doing penance, hard penance. You stand on one leg for years, you still cannot realize me. And he says, na dane, not even by charity. You say, what you mean? We shouldn't do charity? No, we'll talk about it. Not by study, not by penance, not by dana, not by charity, nurture, ijyaya, and not even by doing the rituals, the sacrifices, the rituals. Shakya, shakya means possible. Evam vidho, in this way, drashtum, seeing. Just the this way that you saw me in this form, you cannot do it through study of the scriptures. You cannot do it through penance. You cannot do it through charity. You cannot do it through rituals. Drishtavan asi mam yatha. Just drishtavan means you saw me, mam yatha. You saw me in this form of the total consciousness. None of these four paths you can see. But does that mean they are useless? So first of all, he says study of the scriptures. Study of the scriptures is very essential. All the religions say that. But what Krishna is saying is that study alone cannot reach. There is something additional you have to do. Study will help, will take you to a certain point. But then there is something missing in that. I'll want to ask you guys, think what he says is missing. So he says study is not enough. Then tapas. Tapas means penance. You do a lot of penance. You stand on one leg in the heat and the cold, and you keep on going through all kind of hardships and the rain. And they describe about our rishis and even some of the demons also. They sat in the Himalayas meditating for years. But they were doing penance not to realize the truth, especially the demons. They were doing it to get more powers, like Ravana and all these demons. They also meditated for years. They sat in the Himalayas and they went through heat and cold. But why did Ravana want to meditate? So that when the god appeared before him, he said, what boon can I grant you? He said, I want to be the most powerful king on the earth. I should even be able to conquer the heavens. So even after seeing the Lord himself, all he asked for more power, more wealth, more money. So he wasted all his years of penance. So here he says, not through study, not through penance, not even through charity. But they say charity is good, giving is good. And all scriptures say you must share, you must give, because that is part of our karmic duty. Because what happens is that, as I have also spoken before, we have so many gifts given to us by the Lord. Our body, our mind, our intellect, our family, the country you live in, all the nature, all the bounties, the fruits and the vegetables and the air and the sun and all this beauty, so much we get from the Lord. And with what we have got, we have been able to earn and learn and collect something So whatever you have collected as a result of the knowledge and the powers given to you by the Lord, it is your duty to share. It is your duty to help. If you have money, you can share with money. If you have knowledge, you can go out and teach. If you have time, you can go spend your time, maybe go sit with somebody in a nursing home, or maybe go volunteer in a library or a hospital or a school. He says, okay, that's very good, but you still cannot reach me. Not through Vedas, not through penance, not through service, and not even by doing rituals. You know, in our Puranas, they describe elaborate rituals where the Pandit is called and the fire is lit and all kinds of offerings are made to the fire and all kinds of mantras are chanted. And it is said that when these mantras are chanted with the right attitude, when you're sitting there, it not only gives you peace of mind, but it gives you a lot of goodwill. You know, so for you can go to heaven and you can get a lot of things that you wish. But he says, through all these four, you cannot reach me. So you might do a lot of penance. You might read a lot of scriptures. You may do a lot of rituals and offerings. You may do even a lot of charity. But there is one thing missing. And can you tell me what that is? Huh? Loving, yeah, devotion. So that he will tell in the next word. So like it's like a basketball player. You know, he takes all the classes. He goes to the coach and learns basketball, and he has read all the books and watched the videos of Michael Jordan and Magic and how they used to play. And he spent hours in practicing, shooting the basket, again and again. And he has even sacrificed. He has even given up his time with his friends and time with his fun just to so that he should be a good basket. But if he doesn't have love for the game, if he does not have love for the game, no matter how many hours he practices, no matter how much effort he puts, that final ingredient called love is very essential. And that is the missing. So that's what he is saying. That through all these, you can only progress. And all of these things are very beneficial. Like if you are doing charity, or if you are doing service, or if you are reading the scriptures, or if you are doing some penance. Penance does not only mean sitting in the Himalayas, but like fasting. You know, people fast. Now that is also a form of penance. Okay, all day I'm not going to eat, but I'm only going to drink water. You know, like Muslims fast during the month of, you know, Ramadan, and then Christians fast during the month of Easter, before Easter. Hindus fast on 11th day and, you know, what, Ekadashi and all that. So these all, if they are done with the right attitude that I am fasting for the Lord. So when I am fasting, I should not be thinking of food. I should be thinking of God. And then only the fasting becomes beneficial. Otherwise, I'm thinking, oh, at 7 p.m. when the fast ends, I'm going to go to Pizza Hut and order me a large cheese pizza. Right, Diana? Then that fast is not beneficial. While I'm fasting, I should be chanting the Lord's name. So this tapas is when I'm doing charity, I should not be doing it with the idea that I am superior and this person is inferior and I'm doing him a favor. No, it is my duty to serve, because the Lord has been kind and compassionate to give me so much. So it is a part. Otherwise, I am accumulating negative karma. Because if I just keep taking from society and not giving back, then that also becomes a negative. So every activity, when I am doing penance, when I am doing the rituals, when I am sitting and the Panditji is doing the offerings, a lot of times people just sit there mechanically. Okay, they have Panditji has come, he's doing the chanting for my house. You know, Griha Shanti, you know, like Ramesh Shastri Ji does. And people are sitting there and they're thinking or taking their calls, you know, oh, what's happening? Then that's not it. The idea is to say, when you're sitting there, you show full attention should be there. Okay, the Lord's name is being chanted and these mantras. And the attitude of love. And also same way when you are studying, like when a person is studying the scriptures. He could be studying with the idea that, okay, by doing that, I'll pass the PhD. Like some people do PhD in Sanskrit, or some people do PhD in theology and all. So they get a PhD degree so I can become a professor and teach. Then you will learn the scriptures, but you will not get the full benefit. Or if you study the scriptures and then you become arrogant, you know, I know so much and I know so much more than all these people. I can, you know, chant the mantras, I can teach. So the idea is that whatever you do, whether you are studying, whether you are doing service, whether you are doing rituals, whether you are doing tapas, it should be done with an attitude of humility, with an attitude of devotion to the Lord, with an attitude of love, with an attitude that I am a humble instrument of the Lord. Oh Lord, you have placed me here. I am so thankful that I have this opportunity to serve. I have this opportunity to learn, even to get a guru. They say that the fact that you have got this book to study and you have a guru like Swami Chinmayananda or Swami Ishwarananda, or those who come here, even to get a guru, you must have done a lot of good karmas in your past life. Otherwise, it doesn't happen. How many people have seen this? You know, how many people have studied the Gita or the Upanishads? So they said even the desire to learn comes out of good karmas in your past life. So when you have the opportunity to learn, be thankful to the Lord. When you meet a guru, be thankful to the Lord. When you have the opportunity to serve, be thankful to the Lord. So the idea being that every activity should be done with devotion, with love, with humility, dedicated to the Lord. But there is one but, that even when you do all of them, even when you do it with love, even if you do it with full dedication, you sit and meditate for hours and your mind is single pointed and you are very evolved and you have reached that highest plane. But there is one little but and little caveat, that there is only so far you can go with your own effort. You can do all your tapas, you can sit for hours, you can do meditate, you can serve, you can study, you know I am that, aham brahmasmi, and you keep on saying I am that and you have understood it and all that the teacher has taught you. But as a human being, you come to a particular point in your spiritual growth and you stop there and then you can't go any further and then you surrender and you say, Lord, I can't do it. This is all I can do. When you become helpless and when you surrender and when you surrender in love, helpless not in the sense that you are useless, but that, oh Lord, my human capabilities only can take me there. That's in the scriptures, it is described as the darkness before the dawn. They say, just as they say, the night is the darkest before the dawn. So all these great saints, there is a lady saint, Christian saint, I forget her name, but she also describes, and a lot of other saints have described, that they reach a state of complete darkness where they become helpless, they surrender and they say, Lord, I cannot do any further. And there, that's when he picks you up. That last step is up to him. And he does. It's not that, you know, in the 12th chapter, the Lord says very beautifully, Tesham aham samudharta mrityu samsar sagarat bhavami nachirat partha maya veshit chetasam. So he says, those who put their mind and intellect on me, they put all their effort on me, and they do everything to serve me, constantly remembering me, Tesham aham samudharta mrityu samsar sagarat. From this world of sorrow and misery, this ocean, it is my job to lift them. So he does. Actually, God is the consciousness, which is neither he nor she. It is the consciousness, but we use he just for convenience. But the Lord says, then it is my job to lift you. So what we can do is you just keep on doing what you can. And Lord, you say, okay, now I did my best. Rest is up to you. And his grace is always there. Once you surrender, once you give up your ego, and once you have done all the activity, then that last step is taken by him, where he has to reach out and pull you towards him and into your embrace. So that is this stepwise progression. So what he's saying is that you can do all these things, but do them with love, which we'll be talking next week, with bhakti. And ultimately, then the last step I have to lift you up, which he will tell us in the 12th chapter how to reach that. So the verses just get better and better. Sometimes tears come to my eyes just trying to explain this. It's so beautiful, his teaching, and this Gita is such a nice text. That's why I keep telling everybody, please read 2 verses every night. I have told that many times. Every night read 2 verses. Read it faithfully and read it twice every night. And then next day, think about those 2 verses. And in 1 year, you will have read the entire Bhagavad Gita in 350 days because it's 700 verses. There is no better. Of course, you can do your other studies and whatever else you want to do, but just spend about 20 minutes a day. It's beautiful. But you have to read it with the commentary that Swami Chinmayananji has written, because I find that to me is the best, which explains whatever little I know is because of listening to Swami Chinmayananda. And also I listen to his tapes at home. I have about 100 tapes, 90 minutes of. So each verse, he speaks for about half an hour. So I listen and I make notes, and that's why I'm able to talk. Otherwise, I actually don't know much. And then, of course, listening to all these other Swamijis who come, Swami Ishwarananda and Prabodhji and Vimalji and all, and asking them questions. So do that, because these are, so that I think the next 2 verses, in my opinion, I know she'll start laughing, but they are really the best verses in this chapter. They are very beautiful. The next 2 verses, you should memorize, because it is like a roadmap. It's like a GPS. When you have GPS, then you just turn it on and it guides you. Okay, you want to reach Los Angeles, you can reach. You want to reach San Jose, even the street, even the house. So here, these 2 verses are the GPS to reach God. So verse number 54 and 55, you should please read next time and memorize them before you come, so that when I'm chanting, you should be able to chant without reading the book. Because really, this is the GPS. If you want to simple 2 verses, which tell you how to reach God, just read verse number 54 and 55 of the 11th chapter. Because it's like he has drawn a very simple map in front of us. And he says, you just follow that, you will reach me. Om sarve bhavantu sukhinaha, sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kashchit dukha bhag bhavet. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Guru Pyo.